You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome, Space and Treasure Coast, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. My name is Ellen O'Neill, and my friend here, Allie Tamber. We are sitting in today on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, while Sita is in California at her husband's wedding. That'll be great for air, the airtime. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We're here in Cocoa, sunny Cocoa, Florida, where we have been on the air for 15 years. Supporting community and live radio here in the area for that long. And we are heard all over the great planet that we have because of the great internet. We are on www.1510.wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, then we share all of our information on websites and our social media, which is all on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and SitaMediaInc.com. So we're excited. Each and every Monday, we get to sit here in our living room, we call it, where we get to share some fantastic stories about local folks, authors and business creators and wealth developers, financial literacy, people that want to start a business, all kinds of great things. Each and every week, there's a new guest, two new guests typically each week that we get a chance to share on the airwaves with you as well as for right here in our studio. And today is no different. We got a great segment today. We have from the National Women in Roofing Organization, we have Peller Arwell, right? I said it right. And also Agatha Hall, which is Aggie Hall, my good friend for a long, long time. And also with Workplace Partners, I got Deb Featherston with us. So ladies, thank you so much for coming today. Woo-hoo. And we're excited to share great information about what's going on in our community. Of course, Allie's with us as well, so she'll be tuning in and making sure that we give you all of the great information and make sure that none of the acronyms or things that we might say my resident spell checker. Danny's running our board today, so we're thankful that we get an opportunity to be here on live radio and share our experiences with you. So, ladies, thank you so much for joining us today here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I'm excited to learn about both of your businesses, and we're going to start with the National Women in Roofing. And my affection, if you will, with the construction industry, especially women in construction, started a long time ago when I started at Home Depot, when I worked for Home Depot for 20-plus years, and really advocating for women in the construction field. Even when it wasn't really that popular back in the day, a long time ago, we used to do it. Really, it was just about Habitat for Humanity houses. That's all the only time I ever saw women on construction sites. So it's exciting to hear about this new opportunities and the new opportunities that are available for women in the construction field. And I'm excited to hear about National Women in Roofing. So for the listeners who may not know, what is the National Women in Roofing and what inspired its creation, Peller, right?
Ellen, thank you so much. I wish I was the creator of that, but I am a joiner for sure. I was asked 10 years ago to join, and at the time I was beginning my career in roofing. And so I'm so delightful that I'm full force in it now. National Women in Roofing Organization, we're a 501c, so we're nonprofit. We're all volunteers for what we do. We believe in four basic pillars, which are our networking, education, mentoring, and industry recruitment. So we do a lot of serious networking. women tend to have a good time whenever they get together. So we do. And it's an amazing positive space where we embrace each other, connect each other, mentor with each other. We have great programs. Educate. So in a business, whether it be roofing and construction, you might be one role inside of a building. And we share the education of all the infrastructure of roofing and construction to see if maybe their talents can go even further in that industry. And 9 times out of 10, it does. Yeah, it really
is. And Aggie, how did you get involved with the National Women in Roofing? Because I, since we've known each other, you've always had some sort of footprint in the construction industry in Brevard County, from my perspective.
I know. I evolved from my marketing into marketing and sales into roofing. Actually, Peller got me into roofing, and then that's how I got into National Women in Roofing after that.
It's exciting. So did you work for roofing companies? What was one of the jobs that you've
done? Well, my first position actually was my original family with Hippo Roofing, and my first roof actually was with Peller. At the time, I was going to switch employers, and then at the time, it was at a 6-pitch roof, which was pretty steep. And I almost didn't go on, and she grabbed my arm and she said, "You better get on this roof because you're broken. Your employer now is crazy." So it just, I had no choice, and I got up on the roof, and it was fine after that.
Yeah, there's a joke in the industry. She is in sales. She is a wonderful salesperson. And at the time, I was on the sales side. She was on the medical side.
Yeah.
So I stole her to the dark side. That's the joke.
Right.
In roofing, you say, "I'm only going to be here for a moment. I'm going to pit stop." Yeah. There's great money to be made. You're servicing your community and your homeowners. But in the end, you just find out how, when you have the pleasure of serving somebody, repairing their roof, taking care of their home, it's addicting. The next thing you know, you're like, "Dang it, I'm here for 15 years now. How did that happen?"
It's almost like you're helping yourself with every customer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of speaks to the role of women in roofing. Like, how has that changed over the last decade? And people think all the time, like, "Oh, I'm in the roofing industry, then I have to be on the roof." There are so many different facets.
We are celebrating our 10 years this year for the National Women in Roofing all over the country, from everywhere. And I went there in January in Las Vegas, and I just was astounded by how many amazing women were in the room, and leaders, and from every aspect. Like you said, some of them are actually roofing crews, project managers like myself. They're business owners. They're out there doing sales. They're in the permitting department. They're in the customer service side. They're in the warranty and service repair. Every aspect you can find, you will find a woman in there. So.
So the development, again, of those careers in roofing have, once again, it's expanded so big, because now we have national women, or national roofing contractors, correct?
Correct. Yes,
so
we
people
do.
that are operating in every single state.
Yes, they do. And of all, Florida and California are extremely difficult in our building ordinances due to our weather patterns. But they're everywhere. And we have crazy weather patterns in the center of the country as well, Oklahoma and Texas and Midwest. So the Midwest area. So the experience is amazing. And we find in this organization, you can grow well beyond what you thought your means were. And that's really the premise of the National Women in Roofing, and supporting and the recruitment and the mentoring to just keep going and to see what you can do within you. You know, funny statistic is we only have the seat of 5% in all of roofing and construction. We only take 5%. So women are making a move. I feel like there's so many of us out there, but to think it's only 5% is just incredible for the amount of growth. And in 10 years, it was launched for the first time in 2016 at IRE, which is a huge roofing industry expo.
International Roofing Expo.
International Roofing Expo. Thanks, Aggie.
Way to go.
Knock down those acronyms. And it made its debut there, and it has just grown over the years. And how does it grow, you might ask?
Yes.
It grows through the birth of our chapters, and that's what's led us here today.
So what are some of the challenges? Like, so for, like, not just for women existing in the industry, but the roofing industry in general has changed quite a bit. We were talking earlier before the show started, you know, some of us can remember when we had gravel roofs. And now then it was asphalt roofs. And now we've really moved to metal, right?
Is the big
push right now. So what are some of the things that have changed?
So there are challenges, and the challenges exist in the insurance space, which is a whole topic we'll save for some other time. It is also in we have adverse weather, but we've had very low adverse weather over the last 4 years. That is a blessing for
Thank
sure.
Thank you, Mother Nature.
Yes. And then the changes we have politically have made challenges for employment, you know, having workforce. So there's all that reorganization going on in addition to. And then greater materials. I mean, technology is moving so quickly that our advancements not only go from, at the time, tar and gravel roofs, like we all spoke about, then through asphalt shingles, which are still there, and then the advancements of TPO molded shingles, which are insane. Those are composition shingles coming out. There's still barrel tile, and then there's metal. So our homeowners, they might not be more at this moment, but the value and the ROI that they're seeking is insane. So we're bringing these advanced products to them. So we're growing and then combating challenges at the same time. It's an interesting space.
It sounds like it. And so how is National Women in Roofing? You spoke of the four pillars.
Mm-hmm.
How are they becoming more inclusive overall, like in bringing all of these construction pieces together, as well as not just the gender, right? Not just
right.
The women, but
right.
Because you're not specific to women of
Correct.
Helping women. It's
right.
a across the board,
right.
Anybody in roofing. It just
right.
happens to be that you're targeting right now.
Yes. We're in
more.
Support of, and not only women, but diversity. We cross every ethnicity barrier there is. We are all inclusive. We even have Connection Hispana, which is hugely for the Hispanic women that are bilingual in the industry to continue to educate and grow. We refer to our men in our industry, which are there, 95% of them, right?
Right.
The other number. There are affiliates. And so it is not just women in roofing. It's like the HBCA, the Space Coast HBCA, which is the Home Contractors Builders Association of America. We want everybody who could be affected to help the homeowner. So it could be an architectural engineer. It could be soffit fascia gutter. It could be the guy we need for the chimney repair, the skylights, the solar ventilation systems. They're all within our group. So we have an amazing network of people. So if there's anything that could be roofing to education to something that a homeowner might need, incorporating really in construction, and general contractors, we love them. We're always crossing each other's boundaries, and we're inclusive to all of them. So we're not just National Women in Roofing, but as we are women in the roofing space, we're just helping to embrace and grow and say, you've got so much room to grow. There's so much need out here. And I think women complement this by being very detail oriented. They're very specific, and we love our guys because they are the heavy lifters. They help get the heavy stuff really done, and we work wonderfully with them because I believe the compliment is we're okay with doing those fine details. We're great bringing it together.
And I always see women, and I've, again, being around construction for a long time, for over 3 decades anyway, I always saw women as the problem solvers too.
Yeah.
So when you talk about skylights and you talk about guttering systems and so forth like that, I think about some of the women that I had experienced and had an opportunity to work with that said, you know, there's a better way to put that skylight in.
Yeah.
Or there's a better piece. And it became up like an invention.
Yeah.
In some cases where they thought of better ways of installing or, you
sure.
know, lengthening life of, et cetera, et cetera, in all things, all components of roofing. And I really thought that that was always a great side of it. And you're one of the other pillars that you spoke about was the training and education piece. So what does that look like? What are those types of things from a training and opportunity standpoint that women might, they may be inventing like those products of roofing, like that new custom piece that you talked about, the composite.
Yes.
Like
yes.
I never heard of the composite roof.
Yeah. Before. And they're incredible. That's another conversation.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But women bring a lot of light in many aspects, like you said. I look at a home or a commercial building as, what are your challenges? Because we all know, you know, the things that bother us every day are all the tiny details on the to-do list. And that's how I approach projects. That's how Aggie's learned to approach projects. And that's how most of the women do approach projects. They're like, all right, well, what's wrong here and how can I solve it? Because if we're here to restore you, recover you, whether it be in, you know, regular space or a storm space, what was wrong, what needs to be fixed moving forward, you know, and that's where that, you know, creation comes from. So,
or a better, yeah, or yeah, better
just
ways
a better way to do
things,
it.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. You don't have to go, well, this is my house. This is what I have. You know, this is the waterfall I have. This is where it rotted away from the water coming down. Okay. Well, you know, have we thought about water diversion? And as we get there, can we flash this? Like, how are we making more permanent solution? I find that very prevalent for women.
I do too. Yeah.
And I love to collaborate with the men on the roof. I'm like, right. So see this, like, what are we talking about here? You know, yeah. I don't know if that's looking like a good design. And we move forward as all good contractors should, is this isn't looking right. How do we solve this problem? So there's a lot of collaboration that goes on.
So yeah. One of the challenges I saw, and again, we've lived through some hurricanes and things. So, from a legal standpoint, right, with the roofing companies that are out now, we've seen a lot, and Aggie, you and I were talking about this before the show, of roofing companies that come in and then they go out of business before their warranty ends or something like that. And then the homeowners are stuck sometimes with challenging opportunities, if you will, of figuring out whether they're going to lawsuit or something to try and get their roof fixed properly.
Yeah.
And when you're spending $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 on a roof, that's an incredible investment for a home, right?
Yeah.
So from your perspective, and, you know, this doesn't necessarily have to do anything with National Women in Roofing, but from your perspective, what are some things that homeowners can watch out for when they're hiring a roofing company or when they're looking for a roofing company? What are some of the things that you would be looking for first before you hired someone?
If anything, it's the longevity of how long the roofing company's been in. You know, and not to say that a new roofing company, you know, doesn't have the credentials, but from our experience, usually when they surpass the 5-year mark, they've been in the game long enough to last, because usually the new roofing companies, it's trial and error. You know, they're coming from another space and they're pricing their roofing accordingly to what they need to make a profit, and then you'll see that the estimates are all across the board, right? And usually I also have to let homeowners know to do their due diligence on the licensing, the credentials of their workers' comp, because people actually don't do their research. They still don't. And they rely on Google reviews, and unfortunately you could buy Google reviews too. So
and she's a social media queen. She knows all about that.
You know,
BBB is very important.
BBB, you know, and also even getting like three people to give you previous customers, you know, doing drive-bys of projects would be great. So some people, the HIPPO customer typically has done their research and they've, you know.
Yeah, and she didn't say three estimates. She said three genuine customer reviews.
Yeah.
Can you give me three people that
you
did business with that I can call or go by their house?
Yeah.
Real people.
Yeah.
And you do need to do that, because God bless the AI technology, but I mean, you could create a whole human being to talk to you right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
It'd be nice to say, Kathy and Jim just finished a roof with us. May I give you their address? Go take a look. It's a tile roof. You're looking for tile. Look how beautiful. Ask them, would they do business with us again? Did we do everything we said we were going to do? And Aggie, you know this. She answers all of our BBBs. She has done checked customer service with our true Google reviews, good, bad, and the ugly. Because they're all there. It's construction.
Sure. Yeah.
You've been in the business a long time.
Absolutely.
You know nothing is perfect.
Nothing's perfect.
You have to have so many meetings of the minds to prevent that and then say, this is a construction project. It could go left or right. If you give me the opportunity to make it right for you, if you have a concern, please share it with me. I'm a guest in your home, in your property, so that we can achieve it together. That's the opportunity good contractors seek to have. And then it creates great resolution and creates relationships. And on the other side, you did ask something important. What do we do and how are we preventing when visitors come in to Florida? And I told you before, Florida building codes are tough. So if we do have a storm and you can be patient and you can get dried in and protected by your insurance carrier, hey, I need a tarp. Great. Then get out there and get your contractor that you want. When we have no storms, this is a time to have a relationship with a roofer.
Right.
Even a free inspection. Have it inspected by three good known local contractors. Then you get to choose at your time. So when a storm does come, you got that business card or that magnet on the refrigerator, and call them. They're going to appreciate your business, because those visitors are what makes our job very difficult. It's a space where you love us and hate us. You love that we showed up, but you hate the guy who just rolled in from out of town and helped you because you hit the desperation button. If you can get dried in and hang in there for your local contractor, you will then have a future relationship. You will have the ability to know that they're licensed, bonded, insured. Those are their people. And when they tell you you have a warranty on your roof, and there are contractors that do provide great warranties on their roof. Mm-hmm. We do business with them. They rub shoulders with us. We know that. Then they're going to be there to service you. And that's really what they want. We want the same thing that the homeowner wants. But
I was in real, I owned a real estate company for 7 years. And I used to tell people all the time at their closing, I would say, now's the time. Find your favorite air conditioner guy. Find your favorite roofer. Yes. Find your favorite plumber. Find your favorite electrician. And have them come over and look at your house now. It'll be a $50, $100, whatever it happens to be of a
peace
visit.
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind. But then when you need them, it isn't that desperation button of 911 and having to do all of that work ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, now's your due diligence now. Have one come out every 6 months.
Exactly.
You know, if it's a timing thing. But people don't think about, you know, I say it all the time. People don't think about healthcare in the beginning.
Right.
And people don't think about those types of fixes. Yes. The healthcare of your home is a big deal. You know, how are you going to get your dryer vents cleaned out? And all of that stuff that goes along with homeownership, we don't think about those things. And as part of real estate professionals as well, you'll see them all the time getting lists of cards and people that they want to do business with.
Yeah.
And I think about this National Women in Roofing networking event as that place for people to go and find.
Yes.
Those types of networking groups are the places that I want to go because I want to know, has Aggie been to every meeting? Has, you know, what is she doing and what is she doing with roofing that can benefit me?
Yes.
And that I can get better connection and better information.
Absolutely. And that space of our chapter here, the Space Coast National Women in Roofing, we do have that vision in mind. We do. We want to have that relationship where we can tell a homeowner, I have somebody who can go take a look at your vents for you. I know an amazing HVAC guy. Why? We deal with HVAC systems all the time. I mean, the AC guys. I don't want to be the AC guy. Can't be the electrician. I can't be the electrical guy. Plumbing stacks. State of Florida roofer cannot touch a plumbing stack. So we have these natural relationships, and we want to be able to provide this information to our homeowner. If I happen to be the first guy on the spot, I want to be able to say freely, here's one or two in our organization. Please give them a call, interview yourself, you know, take your own opinion from that. But these are great people licensed right here in Brevard or Volusia or Flagler, you know, wherever our customer might be, and be able to be a resource for them at this time. I mean, you want that kind of relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you said four pillars, and I don't think that we've hit the recruitment and retention
piece industry
very
recruitment.
Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a let's just say, that I decided today that I wanted to start a roofing company or something in construction.
Mm-hmm.
How can National Women in Roofing, how can the organization help me?
Absolutely. We have mentorship at every level, from apprenticeship programs all the way to, and you can go on the National Women in Roofing website as a member, and you can say, I am interested in starting my own roofing company. This is what my experience is, and this is what I don't have. Where can I go? What direction? Would you recommend business coaches? Please, could I get some advice? And you will just see this entire community chime in and thread to you. It's insane. It really is supportive. And there are women that are so far up in this industry that deal with millions and millions of dollars of product movement. They've been COOs, CFOs, presidents of company, and you wouldn't think that. And they're everyday people like you and me.
And we don't always think about like the commercial side of it. I mean, there's big DOD contracts, big commercial contracts and so forth, all the way to the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way, so it's every industry in between.
Yes.
The national organization, now that I looked it up and I saw all the great things and the people that are attached to it.
Yeah.
That you're right. There are some big players of women that have created and organizations and companies that really foster the opportunity for people to come in at every level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Aggie came from the medical side And I just saw something in her. And I was like, trust me. Come over here. Yeah. And she did. She came with full blazing barrels. And then when she got next to the roof, she was like, oh, I can't do this. She helped me put on a tarp to a homeowner in Melbourne Beach. They were leaking. It was cold. She was in a puffer coat.
Yeah.
I was like, we're getting up here.
It was a lot of fun.
I broke her in old school style. But there are so many aspects. It's not just climbing on a roof. It isn't. There's insurance sides where independent adjusters visualize roofs and properties and internal and external. They fly drones. Yep. There's everything. In the permitting side, I'm not used to being trapped in a desk. Now, I have been because I used to work for AG Edwards. I've also been in car industries. So a lot of that and a lot of filing paper and a lot of HR. And then I have my job right now where I'm outside. I was on the sales side, so different homeowners. And now I've segued into the production side. A lot of calculations and material orders, dealing with homeowners, municipalities, you know, deliveries, our distributors and manufacturers. And there's everything. I mean, you could be a manufacturer's rep and fall in love with a product and represent it just like she did on the medical side. And sell the most incredible new advanced technology products. And it's exciting. And being an educator. And it's something that I love. I'm huge on the education side. I love to share knowledge for people. And it came naturally. And having the ability to be inside of this organization and know what it wants to grow is a great challenge. Because it's a volunteer position.
And we have a great opportunity to meet everyone. So with the last couple of minutes, let's talk about the June 3rd networking event that we have going on right here in Brevard County. So we'll give you some details about it. We can send the flyer out. We'll have it on all of our social media.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. It's going to be Wednesday, June 3rd. So it's the first Wednesday.
Next week.
In June. it's from 6 to 9. The span will not be that wide, but we know people are working. So we do our events and our monthly meetings for the National Women in Roofing.
Glam Culture in Melbourne.
Right.
So if you join the organization, there are monthly meetings to attend and enjoy and grow. But it is going to be at the Glam Culture in Melbourne, and they have a social club. So it's an event space, and we've rented it out, and we'll be utilizing the inside of the facility as well as the outside of the facility. We'll have all kinds of amazing vendors there to share with our roofers, general contractors, those gutter, soffit, and fascia people, structural engineers.
And how much is a membership in the organization?
So for our special event, that's going to be the birth of a new chapter, we're doing a $99 rate, and that is an annual membership.
Okay.
So, and if you'd just like to join us as an attendee and see what we're all about, it's $25. It goes to multitude of things for that night, but we are doing light hors d'oeuvres, beverages, and entertainment. Local entertainment.
Yes.
So we would love to have you out there and see what we're all about. Any new registrations that night get that discounted rate, and we have a super awesome prize. We're throwing all the new members in a box.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah, we love physically. To have fun. So we're going to have a lot of fun. So.
Figuratively.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Peller and Aggie, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about National Women in Roofing. We'll make sure we get all of the information out about the June 3rd event. That's going to be Wednesday in Melbourne at the Glam Culture Studio right there on 192 and Babcock Street. If you're local, you'll know exactly where that is. And we're excited to hear about the future in roofing, not just for women in general, but for the entire construction industry. And thank you so much for joining us. So with that, we're going to take just a quick minute and listen to our sponsors here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll be right back with Deb Featherston right after these messages.
Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9. That's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9, mattress and furniture.
Join BABA Senior Outreach for our annual Senior Support Walk and Vendor Fair. We're gathering at Wickham Park on May 23rd from 8 to noon to celebrate our seniors one step at a time. We are honored to welcome our featured guest speaker, Dr. Visa Svensson, Medical Director of Health First Aging Services, who will be sharing her expertise on senior wellness. From fresh food and light housekeeping to our Adopt-a-Senior and Companionship Program, we provide essential support for Brevard County adults age 60 and older. Come out for their giveaways, visit our senior vendors, and enter your chance to win a $500 cash prize. Your presence helps us do even more. Visit babaseniouroutreach.org to learn more, and we'll see you May 23rd from 8 to noon.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, listeners, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. This is Ellen O'Neill, and I'm here with Allie, my buddy Allie.
Hiya.
This is sitting in for Sita this beautiful Monday, Memorial Day, which, by the way, I wanted to make sure that I sent out love to all of those Gold Star families that are out there that are celebrating today and honoring the folks that did not come back from serving our country. We had great festivities all weekend long, but we always have to remember why we get the 3-day weekend, right? So hats off to everyone that is celebrating and volunteering to make all of the veterans and those Gold Star families feel loved and supported this weekend. So we had a great first segment with the ladies in National Women in Roofing, Aggie and Peller, were a great first interview. And I had an opportunity to get my buddy Debbie Featherston on. Debbie and I have worked together for, 10 years or so at least, if longer, not more.
Longer.
It seems like
we're just going to stop counting.
Yeah, stop counting. Exactly right. Debbie Featherston is with Workplace Partners, an organization that she founded. And we're going to have an opportunity to get a chance to talk to you about careers and how people can... much like the women in roofing, how people can develop their careers and see the new landscape in 2026. So thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Ellen.
It's so good.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, so exciting to have you as well. So tell us a little bit about Workplace Partners and why, what inspired you to start the organization?
Well, I've always had a passion for helping people and making a difference. And early in my career, I was really focused just narrowly on
helping people who were economically disadvantaged to find jobs. This is an organization that I co-founded in the Midwest. And then we ended up selling it, became a publishing firm, and we sold that off. And I pursued my interest then in going into organizations and helping people to really learn how to better manage their careers, whether you're a leader who's wanting to grow or somebody that's new to leadership. I mean, so I work with leaders at all levels. I work with the organization. If there's a tremendous amount of change, and you know change brings a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, and helping people to become more resilient so they can cope, you know, with the change, that's been huge.
And
so,
grow with the change,
right? Because they have to be able, and that's the other element. So I look at leadership development. I just look at it this as I'm in the people business. Right. I just go into an organization and I identify what the need is. Is it really growing their leadership? Is it really helping their workforce in some specific way because they lack a skill set, or they're not working cohesively together? Or is it about career development? They've got a big issue with retention, which is a problem that I think in Brevard, when I moved here, I was really surprised to see that, you know, of course, at that time, I was hearing, oh, people get paid with sunshine here. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, right? That's going to pay the bill and keep the mortgage taken. Yeah, that's a joke. Yeah. But anyway, on a serious side, you know, a lot of people just become disenchanted. They are dissatisfied with what they're doing, and yet they really haven't always built the relationships inside. They haven't really explored the different options.
And people don't see that there's opportunity everywhere. Yeah. And in the landscape that we have now with, you know, Indeed.com and all of these online job search products, right, that you don't get calls back, and you do get disappointed and disenchanted with the whole hiring process. If someone's out there right now and has basically a career, let's just say in retail, you know, that from a learning standpoint, people say, well, I'm just going to go back into retail. But at some point, you have to manage, you should have to start managing and taking responsibility for your career, right? So from a growth standpoint, how are you helping teams through Workplace Partners? How do you help teams and really establish that strength and that foothold that someone can get into retail and really have a great career with retail no matter what level they're at?
Yeah, and I'll break it down to the individual level versus the team, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go into a workforce, and so while the information is going to be the same, the key here is that, as you say, my goal is to really inspire people to take charge of their career. Realize that their career growth and mobility is not dependent on working really hard. While good performance is part of it, don't be passive and expect someone, the boss or another influencer within the organization, to recognize what you do well. You have to be proactive. You have to really, and I use a five-stage career development model that I go in and teach people to help them to really, and it really starts with what, you know, who are you? You know, who are you professionally? What is it that you're really good at? What are you passionate in? So look at your interests, look at your skills, you know, just really know what drives your motivation and interest, right?
Right. And that's what I always think too, is that in any industry, if you're passionate about any industry, no matter what it is, and typically I'm not ever interested personally, I'm never interested in the normal something, right? I always want to, there's got to be something outside the box somewhere that's going to interest me. So I'm always looking for those extra pieces and parts. But when you have the what are some of the skill sets, right? When you have the confidence to be able to do things like that, what are some of the skill sets that people are lacking or are good at, you know, both sides of it, that help them get to that out of the box or really start thinking about personally about a career instead of thinking about the job all the time?
Right. Well, what I look at it slightly differently. So I'm going to answer that slightly differently, Ellen, because when I'm working with a person, I want them to really know themselves well. What are they really good at? What are the skills? What are the, you know, what do they really want to do? Then I want to encourage them. So I'm looking at the first step is really know yourself well, right? So it's all about the motivation. Know yourself well, and then be really aware increase that self-awareness of how you're seen in the organization, because there's a performance reputation factor that impacts a person's career mobility, even a person's career growth. If they're not seen as a person who has good follow-through or has the right skill set or the fundamental background, no one is going to advance them. No one is going to invite them to take on that or participate in that certification course or X or Y. Take on that stretch assignment, right?
Right.
Exactly. So those are huge. So to me, that's where it starts. Those are foundational pieces. And there is such a huge, I think the majority of people really have a blind spot to this performance reputation factor. And it can really hold them back. You know, it could be the one thing that holds them back. I'll give you an example. There was a gentleman that I was working with within the food service industry, and he was working at corporate, and he decided to put his name in the hat for another opportunity. Well, he got rejected. And after that rejection, his behavior started changing. And instead of being seen as positive and upbeat and somebody that was forward-thinking and someone that was willing to do all the positive things that he had been seen at, he was becoming negative, and that negativity was really starting to affect the way people saw him and they didn't want to work with him. So fortunately, his leader was able to say, hey, Bob, we'll just call him Bob in this case.
Right.
Hey, Bob, you know, brought it to his attention that, you know, there's a change in your behavior. And if you're not mindful of it, if you don't take action and change this, shift back, it will damage. You won't move anywhere else in the organization.
It almost seems that's a challenge in from a retention standpoint, too, because HR typically is the performance management side, right? Mm-hmm. So we're just more managing performance. But you're taking a different take on it where it's career management.
Right.
And so it really is the whole person.
Right.
And in HR, we're typically one of those, and I've been in HR before, it's typically the slap the hand, you know, I'll give you the merit review or whatever, those kinds of things. But we don't always go in with that proactive approach of, hey, let me show you what your picture looks like from my view.
Right.
And how you could increase your value.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So do you think from a retention standpoint that organizations sometimes have a tough time understanding what that career development is for the individual as well?
Does
that kind of complicate retention?
I think, yes, it does. And I think the smaller the organization, the more challenging it is because they're not mindful of that. They're heads down, focusing on what needs to be done today to meet the deliverables and, you know, make certain that we're hitting the bottom line. You know, those numbers are right where they need to be. And so there's a, you know, they have a blind spot to what they need to be doing to help retain people. And so my goal is to shift that responsibility. In fact, this shift isn't something I did, but actually back in probably the 90s, we saw a real shift where corporations, instead of telling people exactly what they needed and providing all the training and helping, you know, direct, you know, they'd be the orchestra.
Right. Director.
Director, right. Right. You know, that instead, they shift, that responsibility got shifted to the individual. And so that's why I start with know yourself, right? That's your first step. Be aware of that performance and reputation factor. The other thing is get your head out of the sand, people. Pay attention to what are the trends that are impacting the industry that you're in, the organization that you're in, and your profession. You know, which of those trends are directly impacting your job or will in the near future impact your job? Do you need to be getting more training? Do you need to get asked for an opportunity to do X or Y within the organization so you can stretch your capability? And so people need to be intentional in broadening and deepening their experience so that they are prepared to meet the future needs of the organization.
So one of the jobs and careers I see now where there's really no role for it, there's no role model necessarily to follow, is like influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these online positions that companies are now hiring for. So if you were to coach or to work with someone that, and that was their goal, is that they wanted to be an influencer within an organization, what would be some tips that you would give someone like that? Or anything that was new in the industry, any industry that had a new
role or a new piece that was kind of adding to it, what would you say? What would you give advice for?
Well, one of the first things I would hope that they would have is the ability to ask a lot of good questions, and that they would be really exploring what's going on. And if nothing else, part of the critical thinking methods, that I love, is reverse engineering or reverse brainstorming is what they call it. So what you do is, you're looking at a problem. Let me say this more clearly. I may have the wrong label, but
that's okay.
But to say this real clearly, the approach is to not find solutions, but to try to break it. Right. So I call that reverse engineering or reverse, technically, I think in the critical thinking space, it's called reverse brainstorming. But what you're doing is you're looking at how can I break this? You know, so if I'm looking at the organization and I'm looking at what's new as an influencer, what are the things that would happen if I did X or Y? What if I didn't do it? What if we did it this way versus that way? And just really look at it from a lot of different angles. But the key here is you're not working in a vacuum. I mean, you can research, you can dig around, but there's not going to be a lot, right? Because it's so new, it's cutting edge. So what's going to be crucial is to have a series of conversations with people. Begin to identify people in your network that you can talk to about, you know, what are the needs? Where are the opportunities? What are some of the challenges? And begin to just be a little bit more future forward in the way they're thinking and exploring the opportunities to just discover where there might be a really good fit.
And to your point of reverse engineering, I always thought it was brilliant. Someone taught me this, of walking into a position and saying, okay, let's say I'm stellar.
Yeah.
I'm the best of the best, and you're out there talking about me. What are some of the things that you're saying that I've completed, or that what challenges that I've fixed, or whatever it happens to be, so that way, from a reverse engineer standpoint, I know already what success looks like for you as the organization of hiring me.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So understanding those pieces is exactly what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
it's getting to those capabilities, right?
Right.
Because
yeah.
That gets back to that reputation piece. And reputation is really just understanding how people see you. How are you? What are you known for, as you spoke to? What are the competencies? What are the skill sets? What's the success? Where are some of the significant accomplishments and contributions that they've made to the organization? And within that, you know, just get on the fringe and get comfortable with the newness and play with it a little bit. And it's okay to fail. I mean, it's really okay to fail because you're on the cutting edge. You're trying to do something that is unique. And that you then have an opportunity to get in there and shape that role in a way that maybe somebody didn't think about.
Yeah. And for you, you've worked with so many Fortune 500 companies and
yes.
so forth. Do you have any like story that you can think of where an organization really was not necessarily defining the culture, if you will, and they're bringing people on and the retention was just spinning out of control, where people were, you know, because again, when you're working with organizations that have 500 to 10,000 employees, you're working on volume at that point and
right.
making sure that everybody's set up for success.
Right. There are organizations that have had really bad reputations that are large, or just maybe even a one division of the large organization, and they had such churn because they didn't have good leadership, they weren't communicating the vision, they were not investing in their people, they had very unrealistic expectations, and it was costing the organization a lot of money. The flip side of that I have that stands out for me is an organization that discovered that 60% of its workforce was retirement eligible in 5 years, and they had no succession plan. And I see that is a big problem, right? Right? Those go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and they're starting to say, they're calling it legacy workers, where people are leaving or retiring,
right?
And they're taking their legacy with them, all that they
That's
learned,
right.
all
That's
that
right.
they had, all their challenges that they conquered, and they're
right.
not passing it on to the next
no.
generation of workers that are coming
yeah.
out. Now, maybe some of the challenges are different, but...
No, but I mean, that is a critical part of the problem. I mean, if you just look at an organization like Harris locally, they have had that problem,
yeah.
Over the years, where there's been really good talent. When the merger with L3 and Harris, sorry, locally, but
yeah.
anybody that works there probably knows the truth, that, you know, they had a lot of loss of talent because the culture came in, it shifted. They totally, they discounted certain things and didn't create that positive environment that people need. And engineers just, and other people across the organization just left.
So what gifts do you give organizations? And I call them gifts because they truly are, as far as ongoing training and creating a healthy environment like that. And I don't know the corporations are necessarily worried about healthy environments anymore, it seems like. It's just sort of like grind and let's get the work done and that type of thing. So what would you say from an organization standpoint, how training and development really add to the value of an organization?
Right? Well, training and development tells the employee that you care about them, that you're interested in their growth and development. Whenever you invest in an individual, that sends a very positive message. You trust them, you're interested in keeping them, and, you know, they add value,
right?
And so that means if you continue to send those kinds of messages through training and development, and there could be other things, but the key here, training and development, it's all about getting that message to the employee that we care about you, that you are adding value, we want you to make a contribution, that giving them permission to share what the problems that they see and the potential solutions versus shutting them down and it's my way or the highway, sometimes we have leaders that just discount what people say or they don't listen carefully, and so good ideas are lost and good people are lost as a result.
And again, going back to that growth piece, I am recognizing a lot of organizations don't even have a job description.
No.
For success, right? So to even understand a new employee or a new career professional that's coming in doesn't really have a roadmap of what that success looks like. So what would you, from an advice standpoint, for someone that was taking a position like that that really didn't have a job description, what would your advice be to that career professional of how to grow
The one thing that I would say is the individual needs to start with defining their role. Based on what you're asking me to do, here is the way. Draft your own job description. And now with AI, it's an easier thing to do, for sure. Right. But they need to get practical. What are the skill sets? What are the requirements? What are those special projects what are you doing? What is your job? Create that job description and just draft it. So you have a starting point.
Right.
And then you can have a conversation with your leader and see if there's agreement or where do we need to go. Or if you have ideas, this is where I'm at, but here's where I see, as the individual, here's where I see I can add value. Ask for those stretch assignments. Ask for added responsibility. That's going to be a real plus.
Yep. And how can employees or a new career professional, how can they advocate for healthier environments? To be able to foster those communication pieces. So because a lot of people are afraid that, they're afraid to go talk to a boss or afraid to go talk to a leader. So from a confidence standpoint or from an approach standpoint, is there some kind of guidance or advice that you could give somebody out there listening?
Yeah, it's a great question, but it's a tough one. But what I would say, this goes back to the individual recognizing what degree of emotional intelligence they have. And all I mean by emotional intelligence is there's a choice in how you respond to a situation or to a comment. And so if you can stay calm and you know that you can manage your own emotions, that you're not going to react emotionally, you're going to have more access to your prefrontal cortex, which is critical to thinking, rationally.
Well, as we always say, logic and emotion can't live in the same brain.
They don't. Emotions are high. Logic is in the tank, right? So we want people to just be aware of how they're showing up. And if you feel that you're being triggered, take a pause, step away, and come back to the situation when you are calm and then have a conversation. So if you can show up and be consistent in the way you interact, in the way that you speak, that you can be respectful, you can set the tone. You can help to shape the workplace environment. That's a place to start.
Absolutely. So what's ahead for Workplace Partners and some of the things that you're doing? Any new programs, initiatives, goals that you're excited about?
Oh, well, Workplace Partners, we're just having fun.
Okay.
And quite honestly, Workplace Partners, we work across probably about four counties here in the Central Florida predominantly. And we're doing a lot of work in leadership development. We're working with some municipalities and creating a leadership academy. So I really love to see that they're really wanting to grow and develop. We're doing a lot of coaching, which, you know, in targets, so that is really a help. When I say a target, it's an issue that I'm having. It's a gap in my knowledge. It's a problem that so it's targeted coaching in many cases, not just a full coaching program. And doing a lot of work in team development. And one thing on just that I can mention that I'm absolutely thrilled about is there's a couple new tools that we've been using around conflict and whole brain thinking that are huge and really some game changers in working with leaders today and helping them to be more effective.
That's fantastic. So if an organization out there, new or existing, is looking for a way to increase their retention, to make a better culture for their environment, for their workplace, et cetera, where do people find you and how
build
can they get in
leaders.
Touch with you? Leaders, absolutely. Training classes, et cetera.
Well, it could be coaching, it could be consulting, it could be training, it could be an assessment that's needed perhaps, but we could just individually, because that's one thing I pride myself on and the organization does, is we tailor our solutions for the organization's needs. But to reach us, they can call me at 321-984-3230. They can also email me, if that's easier and more convenient, Debbie@yourworkplacepartners.com. And they can always go to our website, yourworkplacepartners.com.
That's right. And another new venture that you have the TV show.
I'm loving this. Career Connections. I've had the great opportunity to start a new program. It's a TV show, as you said, with WESF TV. And it's all about careers. And so we are positioning that to go nationally and excited about the opportunity to bring in some top talent to really explore different careers. And I'm looking at the entire career life cycle.
Yeah, that's excellent. Excellent. Really great information today. As always, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Sita always comes up with the greatest guests. And we have such a great connection in Brevard County about exploring new ways of living or new careers or new things that people are coming out with. New businesses and so forth. So we are always excited to share it here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And today is no different. Hopefully you'll be able to tap into the June 3rd networking event that's going to happen right here in Melbourne for the National Women in Roofing. And then, of course, Workplace Partners or yourworkplacepartners.com. You'll be able to find out all the great things that Deb Featherston is doing, not just here locally, but also nationally as well. And thanks again, folks, for listening and tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510 WWBC. We're here each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're also broadcasters 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And we sure appreciate the opportunity to be able to share all of this great information about Brevard County with you. Thanks again, folks, and we will see you next week right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.